We get it. The holidays are special. But now, a few days after Christmas, maybe we can be a little more honest. The holidays are in a category of their own when it comes to stress, failed expectations, and family feuds.
You cut the turkey without me?
And they're practically in their own category when it comes to film. That was Gabriel, played by Lou Jacoby in the movie Avalon, after missing the annual carving of the turkey. NPR commentator and movie buff Murray Horowitz joined me to discuss the pantheon of holiday disaster movies and why we love them.
There's an instant dramatic tension that lends itself to drama and to comedy and to romance and even to horror. I mean, it's that tension between the promise of the holiday, whatever holiday it is, and the nearly inevitable disappointment with it, especially among grown-ups. I mean, think of the suspense. You know, is the turkey going to be done on time? You know, will I get the present I wanted? Is somebody going to get too drunk at the office party? All these questions are great fodder for screenwriters and directors.
If we're going to put these movies into categories, let's begin with the straight-up disaster.
Catherine, this turkey tastes half as good as it looks. I think we're all in for a very big treat.
And there are a lot of those we really love. The exploding turkey in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Barbara Stanwyck flipping flapjacks in Christmas in Connecticut.
Oh, Felix, what am I going to do?
Well, I guess the most extraordinary Christmas office party ever was in Die Hard.
Welcome to the party, pal!
To be hoped that not everybody's been through a terrorist takeover of the office as you are in Die Hard, but we've all been to, or almost all been to, an office holiday party. And so immediately there's a kind of identification with what's going on screen.
But for years, what were categorized as the quintessential holiday movies were about another category, the averted disaster.
Absolutely. We think of the great Christmas movies. In the 50s and 60s, what you saw endlessly on television was George Seton's Miracle on 34th Street.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Don't you realize that there are thousands of children lining the streets waiting to see you?
And then that got supplanted by It's a Wonderful Life, which became a cliche. And now that's been supplanted in a way by Bob Clark's A Christmas Story. Dad tries to take a nibble of the turkey, and the turkey crashes to the floor, and the neighbor's dogs devour the bird, and Darren McGavin curses the whole time. And the averted disaster is great because, I mean, it is the holidays after all, and we kind of want a happy ending, or at least something like justice. I mean, there's even a sort of rough justice in one of my favorite holiday movies, Bad Santa from 2003.
Hey, loser. I'm talking to you, fat ass. Ah!
What about the category that's been on the campside, maybe, the horror holiday?
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
How did we get lumbered with that?
There are several reasons. First of all, there are quite a few of them. You mentioned camp. My personal favorite is the perfectly, and I mean perfectly, dreadful Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
What have we here? More toys?
Those are Martians.
We don't want to hurt you, Santa Claus, so come along quietly.
I'm cheating. It's not really a horror movie, but I really wanted to mention it. But second, it must say something about us that people actually make horror movies about the holidays. And yet there's a third reason. It's kind of taking the bleak side of the holidays to its most extreme. And there's at least one classic in the bunch, which is Gremlins from 1984.
Tra-la-la-la-la.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
You're going to like this.
It's a puppy, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, it is. I can tell.
Talk to anybody who grew up in the 1980s and Gremlins like an icon.
So we're coming up on New Year's Eve, which means we got to end on a good note here. New Year's Eve movies tend to be less disaster and more deus ex machina.
I guess you could call the Cuban Revolution a deus ex machina. That's the disaster that befalls the mafia in The Godfather 2. But you're right, Linda. New Year's Eve traditionally is when characters, especially lovers, get together. I think of Waiting to Exhale, Forrest Whitaker's film from 1995. Certainly When Harry Met Sally.
I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich.
So, is that your favorite, Murray?
No, my favorite is two holidays in one, both Christmas and New Year's. Billy Wilder and I.A.L. Diamond had this fantastic run in the late 50s and early 60s of some of the funniest movies ever made. Some Like It Hot, 1, 2, 3, Kiss Me Stupid. And in 1960, The Apartment. It had 7 Oscar wins, Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay, Best Actor and Actress for Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine. It's just an amazing movie. And in it, a Christmas office party disaster is redeemed on New Year's Eve. As a lot of folks remember, it has one of the most famous final exchanges in the history of the movies.
I love you, Miss Kubelik.
3. Queen.
Did you hear what I said, Miss Kubelik? I absolutely adore you.
Shut up and deal.
So, Murray, are you going to have a big New Year's celebration?
I think it'll be not so quiet as Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine playing Gin Rummy, but I don't think we're going to have the Cuban Revolution at my house. But whatever it is, I want to wish you a very happy 2014, and may it, for all of us, be filled with great movies.
Thank you very much, Murray. Murray Horowitz is a playwright, a lyricist, and an NPR commentator. Very nice of you to come in.
Thank you.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.